Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Anasuya Basil, and we're here doing a teleclass with Leslie Pearl called More Than a Resolution, Health Goals That Create a Cushion of Loving Kindness for Your Body. And I'm so glad to be here, and it's so fun for me to be here with my colleague, Leslie. And we've had so much fun talking about health goals over the past few weeks in preparation for our workshop tonight. And I'll just introduce myself, and I'll let Leslie introduce herself, and we'll do a little overview of tonight's call, and we'll go ahead and get started. Again, my name is Anasuya Basil, and I'm a certified nutrition consultant. I also do cranial sacral therapy and acupressure. And my clients work with me a lot by phone and internet. And I also have offices in Chico and El Cerrito in California. I'm a nutrition instructor for Bowman College. And I really envision my clients to be so well in tune with their bodies that no matter what health issue that they experience, they journey through the healing process with peace and self-love and the best outcome possible. And I am really excited that Leslie is here on the call with us tonight. And Leslie, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'd love to. I'm Leslie Pearl, and I'm a massage therapist and body Sherpa. And I'm often asked what a body Sherpa is. And it was really something I came up with because there didn't seem a good description for what it is that I do. And I know that there have definitely been times in my life where I felt like I needed someone to hold some of the weight of my journey. And that's the job of a Sherpa in the Himalayas. They actually help climbers to bring all of their belongings up to the top of that mountain. And they're able to do that because they know the terrain. And having struggled with weight and body image issues for most of my life, I feel like I definitely know the terrain. And that's really what I come to my clients with, whether it's doing massage and body work, or whether they're a Weight Watcher member, or whether they're working with me one-on-one about weight and body image issues. My job is to help them hold some of their stuff as they move forward and climb up what often feels like a very tall hill. And I'm here in Seattle now. I've done this work in California and in Chicago, and have taught at massage schools in both places, and have been a Weight Watchers group leader in all three locations. So I'm delighted to be here tonight and able to connect with some of my people from California and Seattle and Chicago. So welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Well, I love the way you put that, Leslie. It's such a wonderful metaphor for this work. Tonight we're going to have tonight's a really interesting night. Just health goals in general are so something that we think about a lot. And first tonight we're going to talk about self-care in general, and then we're going to work with our own health goal from like three different angles: from looking at self-talk, looking at an expanded vision of our goal, and figuring out the next action steps. And at the end, we'll talk about you getting support for attaining your goal. So, Leslie, when you and I, you know, talked before, we talked about how there's a couple different ways to approach health goals. And I'd wonder if you'd like to just expand on that.
Sure. We talked a lot about really pushing versus caring, or what I like to call the shoulds and the have-tos, versus the get-tos and the want-tos. And, you know, it's been my experience that no one beats themselves into permanent change. They can force themselves into temporary change, but nothing that's going to last, nothing that they're going to feel good about, nothing that makes room for life. At least this has been my personal experience. I have tried to beat myself into weight loss. I have tried to beat myself into fitness. It doesn't work. Ultimately, I'm going to rebel. I'm going to snap back. It's the binge following the deprivation. And that's what we want to move away from. you know, and really thinking about what is it that we get to do that's going to move us in that direction that we want to go in. And when you and I were talking, two stories really emerged for me that I thought were great examples of this pushing versus caring, they have to versus the get to. And the first was actually a Weight Watcher member who one day got on the scale and lost a tremendous amount of weight. And I said, my goodness, what happened? What did you do this week? And he said, I ran 5 miles every day. And I said, that's fantastic. I said, can you do that again next week? And I watched all the color drain from his face. And it was at that moment that we began the conversation of whatever it is that you're going to do, it needs to be something that you can do again and again and again, not just for 1 week. So that's when he and I started a conversation about what felt doable and what felt like something he could do with some grace. The other story that comes to mind is someone I worked with, and he was struggling with weight, and he said, you know, I know what to do if I could only pick up a tool. And I said, what would that tool be? And he said, I know it would be some sort of movement. So we started from there, and his very first click was, I need a personal trainer. I need someone who's going to whip me into shape, who's going to tell me what to do. And that felt like that really harsh, pushing language. And the more we talked, he said, you know, but I'd love something that really connects me to my body, something that was a more sensual experience, something that was a more joyous experience in my body. And as we continued to talk, I realized what he didn't need was to do more, but rather that he needed to do was perhaps enjoy a shiatsu session. And he didn't know what shiatsu bodywork was, and I explained that it's a type of massage where he remains clothed and he works with the practitioner, and that person stretches him and guides his body and works along the same meridians that you do on the Suya. And the second I said that, when I suggested that perhaps something needed to be done versus something that he needed to do, his whole voice just brightened up. And I knew that he felt it in his body that, yes, maybe it wasn't that he needed to push harder, but that he needed to do something softer. So those two stories always really remind me of the difference between the really aggressive pushing versus the more gentle, what do I get to do? And I think the story, the second one about the shiatsu bodywork, really fits nicely into some of the work that you do, Anasuya, and maybe you could talk a little bit about the viewpoint of traditional Chinese medicine.
Well, I love working with some of the poetry of traditional Chinese medicine when they talk about yin and yang. And yin and yang are the two basic energies in the universe. And, you know, on the most basic level, yang is more masculine and more direct and more action-oriented and light and bright. And yin is more feminine and receptive and kind of dark and deep. And when you, I don't know if you can visualize that yin-yang symbol, which is a circle divided into two tadpole-like shapes with little, almost like little eyes. Some of you may have seen that yin-yang symbol. And one tadpole is black and one tadpole is white. And in the center where, like, almost like the eye would be, in the black tadpole is a white dot, and in the white tadpole there's a black dot. And it means that we all have, within yin there's a little bit of yang, and within yang there's a little bit of yin. But these two energies we experience in our daily life. So if we're always go, 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 that means that we're always in our yang stage. And the other image around yin and yang, our yang is like the flame, and yin is like the oil in an oil lamp that feeds the flame. And so, you know, a lot of times when we focus on reaching a goal, we're going to focus on that flame. But if we don't focus on replenishing the yin, then it's very hard to sustain that action, because the yin basically feeds the yang. And since we're such a goal-oriented, action-oriented culture, it's hard to get recognition for yin activities. I lead a couple detoxes a year, group nutritional detoxes, and I always encourage my clients to practice yin-building activities. And yin-building activities are activities that are relaxing and nourishing and contemplative and meditative. And these, sometimes it feels like when you're doing that, you're not getting anything done, but what you're doing is replenishing so that when you do go to do something, you can. So basically the idea is the yin energy is the fuel to our yang energy. So when we're doing self-care, self-care is so important, because it's that, it's like that fuel so that we can actually really shine.
I love that image. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to pass it on to you. So if you want, next we were going to talk about a little bit about what happens, some of the voices that come up. And you and I had talked about some of those voices in our head.
Absolutely. And I love hearing you talk about the yin and the yang, and just really that gentle, restorative quality. And it's such a different perspective on how I think most of us as Americans approach our goals. You know, it's always in the push. And like we said, the voices in our head, the voices that say, do more, do faster, get it done. And, you know, I think before we can even talk about those voices, well, actually, when we think about our goals, for me, I need to get clear about if this is even my goal or if this is someone else's goal that I have somehow taken on and made as my own. And we can take goals on from society. We can take goals on from our parents. We can take goals on from our doctors. And we can start to take in their voices and start to live our lives by those voices that really aren't ours. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to explore what those voices are, but this always reminds me, and those people who know me know a little bit about my story, but, you know, I was first put on a diet when I was 10 years old. And I'm very specific about the language, because I didn't go to my family and say, I look different than my friends. I want to do something different, or I can't roller skate as fast as they can, or I can't wear the same designer jeans. Those weren't my concerns. But my family had concerns that I felt were thrusted upon me. And it was really hard, even as a young girl, to work towards these goals that really weren't my own. So for me in my journey with weight loss and body image, I'm always paying attention to whose voice am I listening to. Is this my own voice, or is this someone else's voice? I like to check in and think about, is it my Aunt Ellie? Because she was that one person in my life who always seemed to know exactly what I wanted, who seemed to think I was really great no matter what my weight was. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to respond to the voice of my Aunt Ellie. And yeah, so thinking about our goals, is this my goal? Is it someone else's goal? Is it something I really want, or is it something that I think I should want? And how am I talking to myself about those goals? And when you and I talked about this, Anasuya, you started to mention horses.
Well, I worked for a few years taking care of horses, cows, and sheep, so large farm animals that you really can't push around. And the horses I worked with were Arabian horses, and they're very high-strung, hot-blooded temperamental type of horses. And, you know, I have to just say, it was really lovely working with animals, and it really was the thing that got me tuned into how wonderful it was to care for other living beings and to use my interest in health with them. That's where I started using health practices. But, you know, you can just imagine trying to lead a horse through a gate and the horse doesn't want to go. And a typical thing for a person to do would just be to, like, pull on the halter lead and pull that horse. And a horse is so big, you know, the horse can just plant its front feet and refuse. And that's a typical response when there's too much pulling or shoving. There's, like, that resistance. And I learned that when working with a horse, you know, you kind of need to stand beside it. You kind of need to, like, just do gentle taps and encourage it. And it's so much more productive. You can get a horse to go through the gate if you handle the horse like that in that loving, caring way. And the other way that I notice around some of the voices that I hear in my head around when I'm trying to do something that I think I should do, like, you know, I think I should have all this discipline, and there is an inner teenager that will come up really strong in me, and even when I'm trying to stay, I have a sweet tooth, so that is like an area where I will sometimes, you know, struggle and do a lot better with, and then, you know, it's just something that comes back from time to time. And it's the teenager that will say to me, you know, I haven't had any fun all day. You're, you know, as a grown-up, all you do is work, work, work. And if I'm not going to have any fun, then I'm going to have a cookie, you know. And it's like that intensity. And it really, when I hear that voice, that she's not having any fun, it just tunes me into, like, you just can't tell. You can't boss a teenager around. But if there's something that I can, fun that I can do, then it's like my inner teenager doesn't need the cookie so much. So that is one of the voices that come up. There's all ways of looking at voices. And when we're working with goals, we really want to become aware what voice is inside us. So I'd love to do an exercise right now. If you could take out a piece of paper and a pen and just write at the top of your piece of paper a goal that you want to work with, a health goal of some kind. And I'll just give you a moment to just jot down that goal. And then draw a line underneath your goal, like a horizontal line. And then in the middle of the page underneath that, draw a vertical line that divides the paper into two columns. And on the left-hand side, you can write the mean voice, and on the right side, you can label it the kind voice. So an example of a mean voice that, you know, I've had come up for me is, you know, you're so weak, you'll never make it. And an example of a kind voice is, you're strong, you can do it, every step counts, you're looking good, you're getting stronger. Or maybe if it's, you know, maybe it's someone like Leslie's Aunt Ellie, that's the kind mm-hmm. voice. So take a moment and just jot down what you're aware of the voices so far. And if you're not aware, that's okay. Just give yourself a few moments to see what comes up. Okay. And I'm just curious if someone would like to share, you can just say out loud, examples of a mean voice that someone has.
Hi, happy to share. This is Pearl.
Hi, Pearl.
Hi. Well, the mean voice, it's all the same kind of thing. It's the first line is, you have to, you have to, you have to. The second is, not enough, not enough. And the third is, more, more, more. So it's this, like, no matter what I do, it's never good enough.
Uh-huh.
And the kind voice is, you did great today. You've overcome tons of obstacles. You've successfully changed your habits.
Wow. It's so interesting just listening to you say those things. I feel different when I hear, you know, the different voices, and when I hear the kind voice, I feel much more relaxed.
Well, also what I noticed is that, and you know, and I think in my own life, this is very illuminating, because this is kind of what goes on all the time, is that the kind voice is looking at what I've done, which is a lot, and the mean voice is always looking at what I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
And it berates me for not having done it, whereas the kind voice is like acknowledging there's only so many hours in a day, and look what you've done in this day.
That's really an interesting observation. Very cool. And is there anybody else who wants to share an example of mean voice, kind voice?
I have a mean voice that says, well, you have no discipline, and that you give in too easily to your urges.
Uh-huh.
Like, kind of fall off the wagon too easily. And my kind voice is that you've made such good progress over the years. That's hard to, just that I made a lot of small changes and have been building on it.
Oh, that's really cool.
So similar to, you know, I realized that it is similar to what, was it Leslie had observed that, yeah, it's what
yeah.
I haven't done. You know, the mean voices are all the, yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar to what Pearl said. Well, that's interesting. Well, I encourage you to, you know, to really just notice when the mean voice comes up and see if you can just sort of segue and switch into the kind voice and just see what happens, you know, when you do that.
Anasuya, this is Leslie, and I'm going to play participant for a second, if that's okay, because I went ahead and did the exercise with you.
Cool.
And I found it really hard. Like, the mean voice was easy, and the kind voice was harder. And do you have any thoughts on getting in touch with that kind voice, inviting that kind voice in?
Well, what helps me is to kind of separate myself, my inner roles out, so that if I was a loving parent, and I had this beautiful daughter, you know, Anasuya, and I, you know, I would look at her and just see the best in her and want the best to grow more obvious. And I just try and, like, almost stand in a different posture as if I was that kind, loving parent. And speak to myself from that place.
I love that. I love that you even talked about the posture, because I think we've been talking about even the quality of voices.
Uh-huh.
Even as we say the words, our voices sound different, but even how we get into our bodies.
Yeah, I do
really,
find,
really
like, when you're acting those different voices, like changing your posture, and that really helps you get into it more.
I love it.
Cool.
I love it.
Well, let's see. The next step that we want to do. Leslie, did you want to ask what people's goals are?
Yeah,
right,
that's
now?
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
You know, before we go any further, we asked all of you to come with a healthcare goal. And for anyone who's willing to share, could you just say your name and what that goal is, and maybe if it's changed a little bit just during the course of our conversation?
Hi. My name's Hadar. I called in a little bit late, so I just joined you guys now.
Hi, Hadar.
I'm glad you're here. Did you want to share a goal?
Sure.
Or did you just pop in the call?
I just popped in the call, but I do have a goal ready, so I can just go ahead and share it. I'm very much hoping this year to get over my lower back pain and to be able to lose the pounds that I piled on since the back pain started, and to be able to do some open water races this season, which was the original plan before the back pain business started.
Beautiful.
That's really great.
Oh, this is Suzanne. And my goal is one that's been pretty consistent, although the results aren't always, and that is to sort of maintain a physical balance in terms of being balanced in my weight and in my food and my exercise, and then have that physical balance be balanced with my, you know, spiritual, emotional side as well.
Nice.
That's really beautiful.
Anyone else care to share?
Hi, Leslie. It's Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. My health goal would be to create more energy, physical energy.
I love that. Anything that you want to do with that physical energy that you've been thinking about?
Well, I definitely want to continue my weight goals so that I can lose more weight, but do that from a positive, energetic perspective. And I am also in a intensive job hunt right now, and it's critical to stay positive and, you know, really put my faith and positivity out to everybody that I meet. And I think that when we feel good and we feel that energy inside of us, it makes that much easier to kind of live who we are.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
Anyone else care to share what their healthcare goal is?
This is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I'd really like to have fewer allergy symptoms and less pain in my sinuses. And I don't think I'm going to be able to physically get away from the things that I'm allergic to because I live in them. So I'm hoping I can figure out how to mitigate the impact that the allergens have on me, because I don't like taking drugs all the time.
Sure. Wow. Great. Really specific.
Can you hear me?
Anybody else?
Susan? Can you hear me? This is
Susan. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Hi, Susan. Yeah. Okay. Well, my goal would be able to make healthy choices and even learn what they would be to create better bone health. And I want to increase my activities and be outdoors more.
Hmm. That sounds great.
Yeah. You guys know a lot about this. I think I can learn here.
Cool.
Here's hoping. Anybody else care to share their goals?
This is Judy. And
hi, Judy.
Hi. My goal is just the big lose weight, and there's certainly a lot of subcomponents for that to me. And my kind voice was saying, "You will feel better, you will be healthier if I lose weight." And when I first wrote it down, I was thinking back on your initial comments about, you know, is this my goal or is this someone else's goal? Because, you know, of course, there's a lot of pressure in general, you know, to maintain a, you know, more normal weight. So some of the components are having a better sleep pattern, better schedule, making better, healthier choices, and just kind of starting way back there. So
already breaking it down into those smaller goals that lead you to that bigger one.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. And have you changed your mind about whether that big one is your goal or someone else's?
I think it's my goal.
Good.
Probably at least 90% my goal.
Got it. Sometimes there's many voices in our heads.
Yeah. I have some issues with joint health, and I know it would be beneficial for that.
Great.
Hi, this
Anyone
is Pearl.
Else? Oh, yeah. Hi, Pearl.
Hi. Well, that was funny, just listening to that last interaction, because when you said, that's great that you have something that's broken down very specific, because my goal is heal cancer. That's a big goal.
That's a big goal.
Yeah. You know, and I know what the various steps are, and I'm always learning more pieces of the various steps. But I think that's why that may be partly why that voice comes in of, you know, it's never enough, it's never enough, it's never enough, because there's always something else to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm already thinking ahead, like, wow, if I can break that up into smaller goals, and I've already done, you know, almost everything, if not everything, you know, I mean, I've done 100% of everything, but I've done pretty much everything I've set out to do.
Mm. And yet that voice inside still says there's more to be done.
Well, because until the cancer's gone,
mm-hmm.
it's not over yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. We are getting to the part where things, we break down things into steps soon, but I think it's so great listening to everyone's goals. It kind of it makes me feel really inspired just to hear of different people's goals. And love to move on next to the part where, you know, sometimes I find it so valuable to spend some time looking at the big picture and really visualizing the attainment of the goal. So, like, for example, if there is a goal of losing weight or being free of allergies or having stronger bones, what would that feel like? What would that get you? What activities could you do, you know, once you've attained that goal? So I'd love for you to just take a moment and close your eyes and just allow yourself to imagine yourself feeling the attainment of your goal. Allow an image to come up. Some time has passed. You've taken the steps. And here you are. You've attained the goal. How does it feel in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit? Just really breathe into that wonderful, happy feeling of attaining your goal in body, mind, and spirit. And just take another moment to jot down any images or details or words that describe what that felt like. And sometimes for some of us, visualizing things doesn't always come easy, or if we haven't picked our goal yet, we're not quite sure. Just don't worry about that, but at some point, you know, keep coming back on a regular basis to imagining what it feels like, that happy time when you've attained your goal. It's so valuable because what it does is it fills you with the positive feeling around the attainment of a goal, and it creates a vibration in your body. And I do this, like, for example, I want I love the vision of me being so vital and healthy that I can just climb up mountains with a backpack on my back and get to the top and then see these beautiful views and, you know, be able to camp out. And it just fills me with such joy and ecstasy to think of that, that when on the days when I'm like, I don't want to get up and go for exercise class, I come back to that wonderful feeling and I go, well, yes, I do want to go because I want to get there. It really helps me a lot. So having a big picture is invaluable. And at the same time, we need to take some real action steps to get there. And Leslie has a wonderful tool for doing that. Leslie, will you describe that for us?
I will, but I just want to really thank you again for, you know, bringing us into our bodies and into our minds and, you know, having that goal. We had a conversation before, earlier today, talking about, like, what is my goal? And really thinking about what feels joyous. And I'll just share really quickly what mine is and what came up for me. You know, I really want to feel accomplished and confident in my West African dance classes. And I don't feel that way right now. And when you took us through the visualization, what came up for me is I've been here before. I can do this. And I once had a teacher that I did feel very successful with. And it was such a great feeling to latch back on and to remember, like, wow, I know how to do this because I've been here before, which was really powerful. So thank you. So what I'm going to take us into is what we call the one-minute motivator, and it's not something that I created. It's something that I actually learned while working for Weight Watchers International, and it's not something that they created. It was something created by some psychiatrists and psychologists, and it's a way to move from, wow, I have this big, huge goal, and I don't even know where to begin, into what can I do right now. And what I'm going to ask you all to do is, if you have some room on a piece of paper now, go ahead and take that out and divide it into four quadrants, okay, a vertical line and a horizontal line.
Leslie, can I just request, this is Pearl, there's someone has some background noise that's been going on for a while. Is it possible to just ask everyone to mute if they're not talking?
That would be great. Anasuya, can you let everyone know how to mute?
Yeah, if you have background noise, what is it? It's *6 to mute your line, and then *7 to unmute. So, yeah, there's a little bit of rustling in the back. So if you're rustling papers or anything, just hit *6, and then come back because there'll be some, we do want to hear
your
voice
too. Because we're
going to
talk. Great.
*7 to unmute.
Thanks, Anasuya, and thank you, Pearl. So go ahead and take that piece of paper out, draw a horizontal line, and draw a vertical line. And in the top left-hand corner, I want you to write, what would I like to have happen? And in the top right quadrant, I would like you to write, what needs to happen for this to happen? So top left is what would I like to have happen, top right is what needs to happen for this to happen, and the bottom left quadrant, right, can you, and then draw a line, like as though you're filling in the blank or playing Mad Libs. And the bottom right, I want you to write, will you, with the line again to fill in the blank. Okay? And for those of you who maybe have been working with me in various ways, this will seem familiar to you. And this is a time that, again, I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself if you've muted yourself. And will someone join me and share with me their goals? Some of you shared them already. And we're going to walk through this one-minute motivator. So who would like to work through this process?
I'll do it. This is Susan.
Okay, Susan. So, Susan, what would you like to have happen?
I would like to have knowledge of how to care for my body, but specifically to create healthy bones.
Okay.
Keep healthy bones and create them.
Okay, so you would
and
like
I'd like to have some exercise with that. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to even let those be two goals, because we're going to get that sort of finite with it. So you'd like to have the knowledge to have healthy bones, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what needs to happen for you to have knowledge about how to have healthy bones?
Well, I need to research and know figure out what's true and what's not. You hear a lot of different things. And that would be, that's a big obstacle, kind of.
Okay, do you have any ideas about who might be a good clearinghouse to help you sift through what's true, what's not true?
I think Anasuya is like my best resource.
I was thinking that's a great
experience.
One, too.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, so what you want to have happen is to be more knowledgeable so you can have healthy bones. And what needs to happen to do that is to begin to do some of the research and then bring this research to Anasuya to sift through it together. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
Okay, so Susan, can you do some internet research and then bring that to Anasuya to sift through and talk about what's real and what's not?
I can.
You can.
I wonder if... Mm-hmm, I can.
Okay,
especially
so then
since
the big
she has
question,
an office in El Cerrito, yeah.
Especially because she has an office there, and she works over the phone. So then the doozy always is, will you do the research and then bring it to Anasuya and have a conversation about what's true when thinking about bone health?
Well, I've really been doing a lot of research, so my next step would just be to talk to Anasuya, I think.
Okay. So what does that mean? Do you need to schedule an appointment with her?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know you can do that. So will you do that? Will you schedule an appointment?
Yeah, I will. It's a,
okay.
It's a good goal for this year, and I'd love to get on track with it. And
fantastic.
I've had great experience with Anasuya before. So. Yes.
I love that. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like such a small action step. Schedule an appointment. But a really doable one. A really doable one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else who would maybe like to play with this 1 minute motivator tool with me?
This is Pearl. I'd like to do it.
Sure. Okay, Pearl. So remind me of your goal.
Heal cancer.
Big goal.
Yes.
Big goal. Okay.
Heal cancer now.
Now, yesterday. Okay. All right. So, Pearl, in your belief, what needs to happen for you to heal cancer?
A lot of different components. One is to optimize my nutrition, which I believe I've done. I'm now moving towards a raw foods diet to experiment with that.
Okay.
But I've already done a lot of things like organic, you know, gluten-free, soy-free, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I'm working with Anasuya, and I just brought on an integrative oncologist who both are working with my doctor. And one of the action steps I just did today, and I love this because now I'm just realizing now I can be proud of what I did today because that's a step towards my goal, is I had a conversation with my doctor who is very resistant to getting, I needed 11 tests. And that my integrative oncologist wanted me to get, and she refused to get them. And I did negotiation for like 2 months back and forth. I couldn't get an appointment, so I was doing on email. And then I finally got an appointment because she's always booked. And I got up at 6:45 in the morning, and I typically go to bed at 5:30 in the morning. So I worked my schedule backwards for 2 weeks so that I can go to sleep in time, so that I could get up in time, so that I could be there in time. And she agreed to 8 out of the 11 tests.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yay. Victory.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So we've talked a little bit about some of the stuff that you've already done, and it sounds like you've already done a lot of work. So thinking about all these sort of little things, is there something that's that next thing on your agenda that falls
yes.
maybe into optimizing your nutrition? Great. What is that next thing?
Yes. It is to switch over to, if not 100% raw foods, then like 70, 80% raw foods.
Okay. So, and it sounds like you've done some work already to do that, correct?
Yes.
So it's to increase the amount of raw foods that you're eating?
Yes.
Okay. So what needs to happen for you to actually increase your raw food intake?
Well, one step that I'm going to do, this is like a cannula milieu. So there's a raw organic gluten-free restaurant that I just discovered here near where I live, and they have a weekly class. Yeah, so I'm going to the class on Wednesday.
Outstanding. So where is this, just in case other people want to know?
In Sacramento.
Oh, okay. So for you, the next step is in healing cancer, that next right thing to do is to optimize your intake of raw food, and that next step is to attend the class that teaches
yes.
you how to prepare these foods. So you know that you can.
Yes.
So now the question is, will you attend that class?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've been trying to get there for 2 weeks. I've been trying to get there for 2 weeks, and like I kept having things in my schedule, so I have completely cleared out this coming Wednesday. There's nothing else going on so that I can go to this class.
Fantastic. So you're ready to go.
Yes.
And you've made that commitment to yourself.
Yes.
Thank you, Pearl. And I loved hearing your voice, Pearl, and Susan, your voice as well, when you both realized, like, I can do this and I will do this. And it was such a simple, simple act. But it's that one step in front of the next that gets us to the big goal. You know, back to my Sherpa metaphor, no one takes an elevator up that mountain. It really is one foot in front of the other. And I love this tool because it helps us to break it down. So obviously we don't have time to play along with everybody, but, you know, I'm going to invite you to keep these four questions there for yourself. And if it feels overwhelming, keep going back to that second question of what needs to happen next. What needs to happen next? Until you get something that's tangible that you can answer the questions of can you do that and will you do that? And for whatever reason, and I can't tell you why, but the studies by the people who created the 1 Minute Motivator, they found that actually repeating what it is that you're committing to is key. So there's a reason that I repeat back to you your very own words, and I don't just say, can you do that, will you do that? So whenever you come up with what that next right thing is for you to do, when you ask yourself these questions, it's can I do, and then fill in the blank, and then will I, and then fill in the blank. Does that make sense to people?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, Anasuya, you had a tracking sheet to actually help people to be accountable to themselves. Is that correct?
Yes. I have a tracking sheet, and I find this really useful for myself. It's really simple, and it's just at the top, I write my health goal from the big vision point of view, and then I have columns on the left for the date, and then the different components of reaching a health goal that I want to track, such as I have on my meditation and keeping track of how many hours I'm sleeping. I have a column for yoga, how many minutes I do yoga, and how much time I spend outside, like all categories that I'm like focusing on for myself right now. And I use this tracking sheet to like every day, like write the date and then just, you know, write how many minutes or to put a check mark in the column. And this simple self-accountability makes a huge difference to me, and it's helped my clients a lot too. So what I can do after the class is I can email everybody a copy of my tracking sheet, and you'll see that it has one section that has, you know, my own things in it. I mean, you might not necessarily have the same things you want to do. So you can, I'll send it to you in a Word doc so that you can manipulate it and delete the stuff that doesn't apply to you and put in your own things.
Thank you.
And do you want people to email you to receive it, Anasuya, or do you want to just send it to everybody?
I'd love to just send it to everybody. Let's see. So maybe, Leslie, if you, it would be all right to send me emails, and I'll send it out to everybody.
Absolutely. And for those of you who registered through me, if for some reason you don't want to receive this, just send me a quick email, and I'll make sure that I don't pass yours along to Anasuya. Okay? So, being mindful of our time, I just really quickly want to talk about accountability and support. And for some people, having that tracking sheet is enough. For me, I need more. And those of you who've ever been in my Weight Watcher meetings often have heard me say, if I could have done this alone, I would have a really long time ago. So having people around us to support us, to help us to be accountable in really healthy, beautiful, loving ways, not those mean voice ways. We don't need to engage those people. So some of the ways that we can get support is to actually find a buddy that you team up with. I actually have a friend in Chicago that I exchange food journals with, and it's a wonderful way for us to stay in touch and for us to also be accountable about what we're putting in our bodies. We can take a health-related class. We can join a support group. There's free ones and there's for pay. We can hire a professional like myself or Anasuya. And I'm just going to ask you to take just a few quick moments and just think about, what is the support you have in your life? Are there certain people that you know you can go to and maybe share what it is that you're trying to do and engage them to be on your team? Are there groups that you're engaged with, or maybe there was a flyer at your yoga class that you thought, I need to get involved with that? And just take a few moments now. We're not even going to share them. This is just for you to jot down who and what are those support systems that you're already using or that you could use. And Anasuya, I think this might be a good time where maybe we can both share a little bit about what we offer to people for those who haven't worked with each of us. So can you let people know either what's coming up for you or what you make available to them?
Sure. I, as a nutrition consultant, I work with people on these kind of goals a lot, and I have a lot of nutrition information, and I can also read lab tests and facilitate the ordering of some of the lab tests. So if people have really specific questions about supplements and foods for specific health concerns, I'm really good at sorting out those things and helping people kind of hone in on specifics around that. You know, I can also help people with general health goals too. And as I said, I work by phone as well as in Chico and El Cerrito. And I do have packages for the phone support. So I would love to make a special offer to anybody in the class of 15% off. I think it's approximately 15% off those prices. And what I can do, I don't want to spend any more time like detailing prices on the phone, but along with that tracking sheet, I'm happy to send out a sheet that explains the packages. And so this special price would be good through, you'd have to sign up anytime now till next Monday. So you have a week. And then in a month, I'm going to be probably sending out information about another preview call that I'm doing for an introductory call around self-care that includes nutrition and spending time in nature. There's so many health benefits of that, and also personal creativity. So that is coming up for me. And way in the distance, it seems like a long way away, but in early June, a colleague of mine, Suzanne Lorenz, and I are going to be putting on an in-person retreat in Forest Ranch, California, which is near Chico, in this beautiful, beautiful retreat center. So it's an in-person nurture in nature women's retreat for a Friday through Sunday. So I just, you know, let me know if you want to hear about that in more detail, and I'll be happy to share with you.
I want to hear more about that, but not right now.
Okay. And Leslie, tell us more about your offerings.
Sure. So, you know, what I do is I offer support without shame. That's what I do. It's around food. It's around exercise. It's around body image. And I can meet with people live. I can meet with them on the phone. I can also Skype, which is great because we get to see each other as well. And it's really customized to help people meet their goals. So I've done everything from coming into someone's kitchen and just really revamping what's going on there, making it supportive for the people, everything from taking them grocery shopping to pulling out the cookbooks, again, a piece of accountability, analyzing what they're eating, not so much from a nutritional point of view as you would, but from a, is this actually serving you, is this working for you point of view. I'll even cook with you if that's something that's of interest. And again, going back to really these bigger sort of questions of how do we get from here to there, what are the steps involved, and what are the obstacles. So I offer those. Again, if you go to my website, which is bodysherpa.net, all the prices are listed. And since you threw out a 15% off, I'm willing to offer something as well. So if you're interested through the month of February, go ahead and contact me, and we will talk about a discount offering for class participants.
Great. And your website is bodysherpa.net, right?
Correct. B like
and
boy, O, D like dog, Y, S, H, E, R, P like Paul, A, dot net. And what
and
is yours, Anasuya?
Mybodywisdom.net. So MYBODY, wisdom.net. We're both dot nets.
I love that. So we have just a, wow, we're almost out of time, but I want to take just a few moments to see if there's any questions, or honestly, you had said you wanted to hear what really was a highlight for people.
Yeah, I love hearing, like, what people got out of the class, like what was an aha moment for you, you know, you just what value did you get from the experience? So I'd love to hear, who would like to share?
I would. This is Rosemary. I'm still stumbling over the concept of accountability to myself. That's a new one. I mean, I'm really good on coulda, woulda, shoulda. The idea of being accountable to myself is just something that's kind of blown me away. I'm still thinking about it, and I look forward to checking out your sheet.
That's great. Being open to new ideas.
Thank you. And who's next?
This is Suzanne, and I just loved the whole thing. I thought it was very helpful, and I like the one-minute motivator as well as the accountability. I think that's really helpful kind of way to do what we know we want to do but never get around to. So I like those. And you were both very wonderful, so thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you, Suzanne.
And who's next?
I'd like to share. This is Leslie. I wanted to just say that visualizing, attaining that goal for me was an important part of today's conversation. Just seeing myself writing down those words that supported visualizing attaining my goal, that was really important. And you said that it creates a vibration in our body, and that resonated with me.
Yeah. Lovely.
Thank you both very much.
You're welcome. And
thank
who's next?
You, Leslie.
I think we have time for just one or two more people.
I can go next.
Oh, I heard about
Did I hear Leonie?
Leonie, yeah. Why don't you go?
Yeah. Well, and actually, I like the one-minute motivator because I feel like, well, I didn't really share my goal because it's like it felt so big and iterative and everything, but having that tool, the one-minute motivator, it's a great tool as far as like breaking things down into a smaller chunk.
That's great. Thanks. And who was just behind Leonie?
Oh, that was me, Hadar. I like the need to find people that can help and to find people that can keep you on track.
Yeah, it's so important. We're such social creatures that it makes such a difference, you know, whether it's professional or a buddy or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And was there someone else who wanted to share?
Yeah, this is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
What I got out of this was I need to listen to my kind voice more.
Mm-hmm.
When you had us do the exercise about the mean voice and the kind voice, I couldn't think of anything to put in the column of the kind voice.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you went to the tracking sheet, I think what I need to do is keep a tracking sheet. And the only thing I want to track in that for now is my kind voice, so that I can become more familiar with that voice.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Lovely.
So thank you.
Well, this has been such a pleasure to do this class with everybody, and it's really fun for me to work with you, Leslie, and to share
me as well.
So terrific. And I just thank you, everybody, for participating so beautifully. Is there anything you want to say, Leslie, before we end?
Just thank you to everyone for making this time for yourself. And, you know, thank you, Anasuya, for helping me to be a little bit more accountable in my transition from Chicago to Seattle, reminding me that, you know, my work truly is portable, and how much fun it was to work with someone else rather than doing this by myself. So thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. I hope everyone has a wonderful evening and week ahead.
Thank
you
both.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, ladies.
The moderator has disconnected. The moderator